This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Between adhan and iqama will be 10 minutes only. So if you're coming here for suhoor or you're leaving, so that you plan accordingly, inshallah ta'ala. And then if you do come for suhoor tomorrow, to bring something with you and to make sure that you take back home with you that which you brought, so that nothing gets thrown out, inshallah ta'ala. Aside from that, we're going to start the dars now. So if people don't mind taking the chit-chat into the hallway or out into the outdoors or to the tent, jazakumullah khair, so we can run the dars. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullah khair. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we continue from where we left off yesterday in tafsir of Surah Al-Ra'd. And the verses today are absolutely, absolutely beautiful. All of the Qur'an is, and if at any point you're attending a dars like this, for example, and the person who is explaining the verses fails to establish for you the beauty of the verses that you're listening to, it's not for the lack of beauty within them, it's most likely for the lack of beauty within the heart or mind of the person who's talking about them. And that's something that I myself have to improve on, of course, and we all do as well. But these verses are just too easy for us to see the profoundness and the beauty of the meanings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts within them. All of these ayat that we're going to recite writing today are yet more truths, more haqq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to establish for us and explain to us. And this surah that is speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws, not his laws of fiqh, but rather the laws that govern existence and govern the universe. And within those laws, he is focusing or emphasizing the importance of understanding the laws of haqq, of righteousness, of the truth. And subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only does he speak about the truth and explain to us the laws that attain to it, but he also gives us the characteristics of the people who are able to recognize the truth. And today he shares with us a number of truths that are extremely important for our lives as human beings and as Muslims specifically. And we'll start with ayah number 26, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll try to get, if we're capable, to ayah 31, if we can, inshallah ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Bismillahir. الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر وفرحوا بالحياة الدنيا وما الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا متاع ويقول الذين كفروا لولا أنزل عليه آية من ربه قل إن الله يضل من يشاء ويهدي إليه من أناب. So we start subhanahu wa ta'ala, الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants his provision in abundance. البسط is to grant something in abundance, to give a lot of it. الله يبسط الرزق, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants his provision in abundance. لمن يشاء, to those whom he wills subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَقْدِرُ, and he gives it in less abundance, or he holds back, or he gives in smaller quantities to those whom he wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayah in the Qur'an, you find it at least 9 to 10 times throughout the Mus'haf, repeated in different contexts. قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبُسِطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقْدِرُ, or وَيَقْدِرُ لَهُ, or without عِبَادِهِ, or without قُلْ at the beginning of it, or without إِنَّ at the beginning of it. It's just, you find it in all these different contexts. And the reason that it's repeated so many times is because the human being has a tendency of under seeing rizq, seeing provision, as a measurement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for him. The human being has a tendency of using rizq as a way to figure out whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them or not, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks he sees them in high regards or low regards. And this is a problem. This is a problem. Subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining in the Quran time and time again, it has nothing to do with your status at all. How I see you has nothing to do with how much I give you in terms of provision. They are not correlated. This continues to be this case in the Quran, but the human being just tends to find that difficult. If we have a lot, we tend to take that as a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied with us. And if we're not doing well, we take that as a sign as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not satisfied with us. And this is so wrong. This is so wrong on every level. Actually, it's the opposite. It's actually the opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we are promised the opposite. Yani not only through the Quran, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُوا. Did people think that they're going to be left to say آمَنَّا and they're not going to be tested? Is that what they thought? That's not happening. They're going to be tested, as all the people before them were. The Prophet ﷺ would tell us, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بِتِلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الصَّالِحُونَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. The people who have the worst trials, or the most difficult trials and hardships in life, are the prophets, and then the pious, and then those who are ranked after them in an ascending order. Yeah? He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, in hadith Tirmidhi, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا إِبْتَلَاهُمْ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people, He puts them to tests, He trials them, He makes sure that there are difficulties in their lives. So actually, we're promised the opposite. Yet the human being's tendency to always correlate whether they're doing well in life with how much rizq they have is an ongoing problem. So this repetitive ayah in the Quran, Allahu yabusut wa yaqdir liman yasha, He gives in abundance and He holds back in amount and in quantity to whomever He wills. It has nothing to do with the love He has for these people or the dislike or the wrath He has against others. It has nothing to do with it. And then He makes it clear. And these are truths. Surah Al-Ra'd, the verses are just pieces of, just gems. They're just haqq, something that is undeniable, is undisputed. وَفَرِحُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. الْفَرَحْ بِالْقُرْآنِ, the majority of times that word is used, it's not that they were happy. No. The majority of the use of the word farah in the Quran is not to describe happiness. It's to talk about vanity. Yeah? That's what, whenever he used the word for Qarun, when they're speaking to Qarun, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. Well, Allah does not like the happy. No one will understand it that way. No one, at least sane, will read that verse and figure out that Allah does not love the happy. No. He's talking about the vain. Those who allow their awe of what Allah gave them to go to their head. They were given something and they let that go to their head. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you a blessing. It's beautiful. If you allow that to go to your head and now you feel that somehow you're entitled, that you deserve it, that you worked hard for it, that there's a reason, there's something special about you that made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give it to you and not to someone else. If you allow that to happen, then that's a problem. That's what he means by farihin. And that's what he talks about here. وَفَرِحُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Whatever we gave them from the provision of this hayati dunya, from this simple life, they allowed it to go to their heads. And they became vain based on it. And they got distracted by it. And they're focused on it. Because vanity is basically just getting focused on the ni'mah. You're focused on what you have. You centralize yourself around this achievement or accomplishment or possession or whatever it is that you got. And you feel attached to it, and you feel that it's attached to you, and somehow there's this entitlement towards it, and that you did it. No one is in a position to look at you and say what you have in your life you didn't deserve. No one is allowed to say that. I can't look at your life and say, you didn't work hard for what you have, and what you have is not something you do. No one has the right to do that ever. These verses are about how you are supposed to see yourself. It's very, very important to understand how the Quran works, because if you can understand how the Quran works, you can benefit from it. No one has the right. I don't have the right to come and look at you after you've become accomplished and say, it's not you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you this. You didn't. Yeah, you suck. That's not my business. That's actually extremely rude. And that shows a degree of arrogance and of envy that's projected from my heart. If I look at you and you have wealth and you have health and you have Yani, mashallah, you have a lot of accolade, and I look at you and I say something that this is, no, that's none of my business. This is how you have to see you, not others. Forget about others. We see people's accomplishments, we thank them and we congratulate them and we make dua for them and we learn from them and we try to emulate the good that they're doing in their lives. But when you look at yourself, the Quran is for you to reflect upon yourself. The majority of it, wallahi, the majority of what is in this book is so that you can look at yourself. We have this bad habit of loving to project it on others. It's a bad habit. We love to just project it on someone else. I know someone. I know exactly who you're talking about, Sheikh. Now, give me a second. I know exactly who. No. Unless you mean yourself, you don't. Unless you mean, I know you're talking who this ayah is talking about. Unless you mean yourself, you don't. You absolutely do not know who this ayah is talking about. You assume, and that is a whole other musibah. That's a whole other, slippery slope that you're sliding down that takes you to places you don't want to be. To assume that someone is like this because you saw certain symptoms and you filled in a couple of gaps is absolutely unacceptable. This is for you. وَفَرِحُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. This is for you to reflect. Am I using rizq as a measurement, as a way to correlate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for me? And I'm doing well. I have enough. I have more than I need. I have more than I need. Other people are starving. I have more than I need. Does that mean He loves me? And am I going to take that as a sign of me doing well and allow that to go to my head? And now my hayat al-dunya is my focus. And I'm focused on this and what I have in it and how well I'm doing here. That's not it at all. So off. You're so off. Not even close. Your diagnosis, not even close. Your assessment of this situation is completely wrong. That's not what this is. He just gave you a little bit more to see what you'll do with it. Be worried. If you have more than you need, be worried of what you're doing with it. Be worried that yawm al-qiyamah, when you come and stand in front of Allah, He asks you about it. That extra that you had. You didn't need it. What did you do with that? How did you see that? What was your take on it? How did you behave regarding it? Because that's the question. That goes for everything. It's not just money. I know that that's kind of what comes to mind immediately. It's really not just money. Honestly, true wealth is really not money. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his hibat, his gifts that He bestows upon people, He never uses His name Al-Wahhab with money, ever. Al-Wahhab, never money. It's rahmah, it's guidance, it's love, it's prophecy, it's never money. Money is not worth this word. Money is not that important. Once you have enough to fill your belly and clothe your body and put a roof above your head, everything beyond that is just, it's other stuff that are meaningful. It's the other aspects of your life that if you're wealthy with the support you have around you, the love that you're surrounded with the guidance that you're able to find in life that others are still struggling to find and may live their full lives and never fully find it. Yeah? If you're wealthy with the knowledge that you've obtained and the skills that you have and the time and the health that you have, that's wealth. And that's what you'll be asked about. And if you let that go to your head, it also is problematic. وَفَرِحُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مَتَاعٍ. And all of the worldly life, everything, all of this life in akhirah is just mata'. It was just a moment of joy. It was just something that made you smile for a minute. That's it. It's nothing. It's nothing. Mata'. Mata'. Just something simple. Something simple. Something allowed you to get where you were going. It was just something that you needed to get you. It's transportation. It's just a dunya matiyatul akhirah. As Ibn Khaldun says, a dunya matiyatul akhirah. فَإِذَا فَسَدَتِ الْمَطِيَّةِ لَمْ يَصَلِ الْمُرْتَحِلِ. If the matiyah, if the transportation is broken, you won't get to your destination. It's mata'. It's just a little bit of the moment of joy on your way to your destination. It's mata'. It's nothing else. وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And the disbelievers, when they hear this, they'll say to you, لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي. Why didn't he have upon him descend a physical sign like all the prophets before him? Where is Asa Musa and Ihya Isa and Naqid Salih? Where are them? Where is it? لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ. Give us something. قُلْ. No, you're not getting anything. You've already received. He's going to talk about this in a moment, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't need that. قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَن يَشَاءُ. Say, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will misguide whomever He wants. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابُ. And He will guide towards Him those who repent. Or those who return quickly. الإنابة is a little bit more generic or general than tawbah. Tawbah is specific. It's a specific act of repentance. Inaba is the concept of returning. When you feel that you went astray, or you're a little bit farther away from Allah subhanahu than you should, you quickly try to turn things around and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just specifically by repenting from one specific act of sin, but no, the general idea of inaba. Ibrahim alayhi salam was spoken of highly as he is awahun munib. Awah meaning is always in pain of his sin. He says a lot in pain of his misfortune, of his shortcomings. He looks back at his life and he feels bad about the mistakes that he made. And munib, he's always going back. He's always turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he feels that somehow his footsteps took him a little bit farther away or in a direction he shouldn't have gone, he quickly comes back. He adjusts his walking very quickly. He adjusts his direction back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not misguide people just for the fun of it. يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاء meaning he misguides those who want to be misguided. مَنْ يَشَاء the one who wants that. وَيَهْدِي and he guides إِلَيْهِ towards him مَنْ أَنَابْ the person who wants to find his way back. You want to find your way back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants you to find your way back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You show a little bit of honesty and truth in your intention of finding your way back and he will open the doors for you. Sometimes he'll have you knock on the door for a little bit longer just to make sure you're honest about it, because what he's about to bestow upon you is way too valuable to give to someone who's not real about it, like who's not serious about what they're about to receive. So sometimes they'll keep you on the door for a while. You see, are you gonna knock or is it just a one-time thing? When I was sent to one of my teachers, and for me to go and do tasmiyah to this sheikh, it was like I had to leave school in the middle of the day, stand in front of the school for like a good 15-20 minutes waiting for public transportation, get in, and then drive for an hour, and then get off, and then walk for 10 minutes, and then get into another public transportation, and take me for another 15-20 minutes. By the time I got there, I was sweaty, I was tired, I was hungry, dehydrated, not doing... I come to the sheikh, he looks at me and says, yeah, come back next week. So it wasn't for my father, I was done. I was never going to go back to this gentleman again. In my mind, this is just ridiculous. The amount of time that it took me to get here, but this is, what do you mean? Okay. He didn't even, he said, alaykum as-salam, yeah, come back next week. Nothing. So I go back home and like, I'm done. I'm not doing this again. This is 2.5, this is like 3 hours of my life that I just wasted. I am tired. I didn't get anything to eat. My dad's like, no, you're going again. Nothing was at that time, but that thankfully this was amongst those things too. So I get the second time, same thing. I arrive there, come back next week. At that point, I got it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala akramni, he allowed me to understand what the idea here was. So I came back the third time, and then the fourth time, and then he allowed me to recite. And I asked him, even though I knew the question, the answer at that point, I asked him, like, why the three times? Like, if you're not serious, I don't want you. Like, if you don't understand the value of what I'm going to give you, then you don't deserve it. So if you're going to come once, and like, oh, you didn't give it to me, I don't want it, Allah iruddak. You don't deserve this. You don't deserve the Quran. Like, you don't deserve to give. If you don't feel that this is something worth coming time and time again and waiting at the door and being kicked out until you get it, then and this is between abd and abd. This is between a servant and a servant. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can imagine it maybe take a little bit longer. Yeah, he wants you back, but he has to know that you're honest about it. You have to prove that you're truthful. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابْ He will guide back to him those who return to him. Those who will always return. Your default, you always go back. Doesn't matter how many times you make a mistake, doesn't matter how far you are away from Allah, you always go back. And no matter how many times you sin, or how many times you find yourself going astray, or how many failures you run into in your life, or how many difficulties, or how many times you want something, you don't get it, how many times you ask Him for something, you don't get it at the exact time, you always go back regardless. That's what He's looking for. He doesn't want conditional love. He's not looking for conditional love. Conditional love, you can keep that for people in dunya. Have that for people alive here. For Him, it's not conditional. In dunya, you can have relationships, it can be conditional. But not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He loves you unconditionally. Because He brought you to this world. He didn't require anything for you. There was no, you didn't have to put a down payment for any of this. The fact that you're able to experience this beauty and to have this opportunity, He required nothing. He's already shown you a lot of love. He doesn't want conditional love from you. He wants you, you're committed, regardless of what you get. Whether يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ or يَقْدِرُ, whether he gives a lot or he gives little. It shouldn't change anything for you. And that's a lesson that is worthy of contemplation. We'll recite the verses after, inshallah.
الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات طوبى لهم وحسن مآب
So two verses in a row, they start exactly the same way. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا The first one is one of the most famous verses probably in the whole Qur'an. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Those who believe. And I've talked about the concept of iman a number of times so far, so I don't want to waste your time with it every time the word comes around. The word belief is a really bad, it's a poor translation for the word because it's not really what iman means. Iman is when you internalize the theology that you have. You internalize your comprehension of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. It becomes a part of your subconsciousness and it dictates behavior. That's what iman is. We all believe things in a superficial realm. Like we all have superficial beliefs where we say this, we know that, but it doesn't really affect how we live our lives because we have not been able to internalize that thought yet. It's just something that we believe in the periphery of our mind. So we believe it. Yeah, no, that's how I should drive. I should totally stop driving like this. No, it's wrong. The way I drive my car is completely wrong. It's wrong. It's 100% wrong. But you still do it. You still do it. So that means it's a superficial thought that has not been internalized yet. And there's a lot of those thoughts. Like we have a lot of that. We have a lot of these type of beliefs. Iman is when it goes from a superficial point to something deep. Which is why when the Arab came and said Amanna, the Bedou, and they came and said Amanna, the Quran said, no, don't use that word. قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا You have not achieved that state yet. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا But you can say أَسْلَمْنَا We entered Islam. وَلَمَّا يَدُخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ Yet, for iman to actually enter into your hearts appropriately. It will happen, it just hasn't happened yet. So that's what the word iman means. If you, every time you hear it in the Quran, know that's what he's talking about, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very helpful to kind of understand that. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Those who have iman. وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ And their hearts find calmness and peace in the invocation of Allah. The ones whose hearts find that serenity, that tranquility, that peace, that calmness. It's a beautiful thing to have. Not many people end up having this in their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that, so He puts prayer in jama'ah, rahmatan bina. Out of mercy and compassion towards us subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes sure that most of our prayers are in jama'ah because He knows that we can't function very well on our own. So He puts us in groups because He knows we're weak. But the person who is capable of coming to this state, arriving at that state, where يَطْمَئِنُّ قَلْبُهُ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ His heart is in a state of serenity and peace when he or she are invocating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just sitting there saying astaghfirullah, or subhanallah, or alhamdulillah, or just talking about God. Dhikrillah has, within its meaning, of course, are all these tasbihat that we use. For sure, that's one of those meanings. But it's not the only one. Like, it's not the only meaning for it. Dhikrullah is the remembrance of God, right? Remembrance of Allah. So if you sit there and just talk about it, this is dhikr. This is one of the most valuable forms of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where we sit here and we talk about Allah and talk about His teachings and talk about what He commanded us to do and talk about our shortcomings and the way that we're going to find improvements in our lives so that we're closer to Allah. So that's dhikr. In many ways, it's probably more valuable than a type of dhikr that doesn't have that comprehension or that reflective piece attached to it. Subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us something about what's really valuable. You think it is? They think it's money? That's what it, no. He said, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Allah, indeed, it's through the remembrance and invocation of Allah, تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ That hearts find that calmness. You want fulfillment? You want serenity? You want calmness? You want peace? You want inner peace? You can go ahead and try everything. The human race has tried everything. Go ahead. Knock on every door. People have looked for this at the bottom of a bottle. They've looked at it, looked for it through substances. They've looked at for it in travel, they looked for it in relationships outside of their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They looked at it for it in drugs and sex and wealth, and they looked at it for it everywhere. And they haven't found it. They haven't found it. This is the fact of the matter. People have not found it. They have not found that fulfillment. Some of the richest people on the planet, some of the most famous people on the planet, the most influential people on the planet are miserable. Or just utterly miserable. Because there's something deep inside that doesn't exist, and that's what they're looking for. They're actually human beings who are in pursuit of something. I feel compassionate towards them. Someone who has that drive, the reason that you go after fame and you go after wealth and you go after these things, because there's a drive inside of you where you're looking for fulfillment. You want to feel fulfilled, and you have the tools, like you have the strength and the grit and the willpower to take yourself far in life. And really what they're looking for, they don't know it sometimes, but what they're looking for is that fulfillment. And they think that once I'm there, I'll be fulfilled. Once I'm here, I'll be fulfilled. And they arrive at all these milestones and they don't find fulfillment, so they get upset. A part of them gets really upset that they didn't get there yet, that this is not, it seems so flashy from afar, and now I'm there and it's nothing. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَسَرَابٍ بِقِيعَةٍ It's like a mirage in a desert. يَحْسَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً You think it's water. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَهُ Once he comes to it, لَمْ يَجِدْهُ شَيْءٍ He finds it to be nothing. وَوَجَدَ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ فَوَفَّاهُ حِسَابَهُ When you'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waiting for him right there. You're going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether you like it or not. Just maybe do it in a fashion that grants you that serenity, that طُمَأْنِينَ. It's a beautiful word, wallahi. I've tried to translate it in English, and I offer like 5 words for it because I don't know. Because honestly, none of them really explain what it is. Fulfillment, serenity, tranquility, peace, inner peace. None of them really work for me. Tuma'nina is something much more. It's like deep inside, a part of you inside is just unstable. Right? There's this lack of stability. It's like the mechanics of it are just shaking the whole time. And it's very noisy, and it's very bothersome, and it's worrisome. And then tuma'nina just comes and everything just calms down. Everything works with this harmony. And it's not unstable anymore. It's not worrisome anymore. And you can just sit there happy, just satisfied, requiring nothing else. If there's enough food in your belly so that you're not starving, and you're not cold, and you're not afraid for your life, then you're happy. Because الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Because the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you that, and nothing, I guarantee you, nothing does. Nothing does. Deep inside of us, there's a black hole that will take whatever you throw at it. And the more you feed it, the bigger it gets, and the hungrier it gets. It can devour universes. It wants everything. It wants everything in every way, at all times. The only thing that will shut it down, that will quench its thirst, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he created you that way. He created you so that there's nothing that will fulfill that need or fill that gap inside of you except him. So you have no choice but to find him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once you do, يَطْمَئِنُّ قَلْبُكَ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا The believers, the people who have iman, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ And figure out what it is that they're going to do with their lives that will please him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst those things is dhikr, obviously. Amongst those things is dhikr, not the whole thing, but amongst them. طُوبَى لَهُمْ طُوبَى, the word طُوبَى comes from طَابَى or طَيِّب. You know, it's a word that we use in Arabic all the time. So something that is طَيِّب is good. Just good. Just goodness. Yeah. And every word, that every derivative of طَابَى is the same thing. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, this city is called طَيِّبَى. طَيِّبَى, because it's good. It's just good. It's just pure goodness. Who of you have gone to Medina and not loved it? Anyone here gone to Medina and came back and said, I didn't like it? I didn't want to go there again. Well, I have people go to Mecca and say, I don't know. I have a problem with the people. But when I go to Medina, everyone's like, I would have stayed there forever. I lived for 6 years. Huh? I was a kid. I didn't want to leave. I was a kid and didn't want to leave. I didn't understand in whose presence I was. I didn't even fully comprehend in whose presence I was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But a part of me just loved that place. I cried when we left. Even though my dad took me back to our family, I didn't want to leave. I want to stay in Medina. He took us back to Mecca. I wasn't happy. I want to go back to Medina. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I've been there since 1996, so it's almost, what now? Is that 30 years? No, it is 30 years, right? Yeah, see, 20. See, you're old like me. You think it's 20. It's not 20. No, 2004, that's 20 years. We're old, Habibi. We've gotten much older. That's 30 years now. 30 years, subhanAllah. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ طُوبَى لَهُمْ. Goodness comes to them. Just goodness. Everything about it will be good. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ. This is the only promise that Allah offers to the individual. All the other promises in the Quran are for the collective, for the group. Except this one's for the individual. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا. The one who does good deeds. مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. Male or female. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ. When they have iman, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. They will grant them a life that is طَيِّب, that is filled with goodness. Because what's more good than طُمَأْنِينَ? What's better? Huh? What's better than having طُمَأْنِينَ? Nothing. A person who has that طُمَأْنِينَ in their heart and someone who owns the world but has none of that in their hearts. Who do you think is more happy? Who do you think is more satisfied with life? Who do you think wakes up in the morning and actually wants to continue to live and finds life to be valuable and feels grateful and fortunate? طُوبَى لَهُمْ. In this life, they get goodness. وَحُسْنُ مَآبٍ. And on the day of judgment, they turn back. They are returned to a place where is of excellence. وَحُسْنُ مَآبٍ. It's a beautiful return point that is awaiting them on the day of judgment. Recite the ayah that comes next, inshallah.
كَذَلِكَ أَرْسَلْنَاكَ فِي أُمَّةٍ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهَا أُمَمٍ. لتتلو عليهم الذي أوحينا إليك وهم يكفرون بالرحمن قل هو ربي لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وإليه متاب ولو أن قرآنا سيرت به الجبال أو قط قطعت به الأرض أو كلم به الموتى بل لله الأمر جميعا أفلم ييأس الذين آمنوا أن لو يشاء الله لهدى الناس جميعا ولا يزال الذين كفروا تصيبهم بما صنعوا قارعة أو تحل قريبا من دارهم حتى يأتي وعد الله إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد.
So it says, كَذَلِكَ أَرْسَلْنَاكَ. And it's just like that. We sent you within a nation. فِي أُمَّةٍ. The ummah here is the ummah of the Arab that he was sent amongst, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was sent to human race in terms of this message being spread, but he was sent amongst the Arab. لِتَتْلُوَ عَلَيْهِمُ الَّذِي قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهَا أُمَمْ. A nation that many nations before it have come. Meaning there's many stories of nations who have received prophecies and received prophets and messages before them. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهَا أُمَمْ. Many nations lived before them. لِتَتْلُوَ عَلَيْهِمُ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ. So that you may recite upon them that which we reveal to you, the Qur'an. وَهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ بِالرَّحْمَنِ. Even though they are in the process of continuously disbelieving in the Rahman, subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ. Say this. هُوَ رَبِّي. He is my Lord. عليه توكلت. Upon him I fully depend and I put my trust in him. وإليه متاب. And my repentance is always towards him. It's matab with a kasra, if you look at it. Matabi, like my repentance. But it's commonly in the Quran deleted. Just for no specific reasons. The Arab do this all the time. So this is establishing the context for the verse that we recite. I know it's a long verse that we recited, but the meaning is pretty simple. It established the context for it. كذلك, it's like that we sent you within a nation that many nations before them have received prophecies, and you were sent amongst them so you can recite upon them that which we revealed to you, which is the Quran. Even though they disbelieve in the Rahman, you are obligated to say, He is my Lord, there is no God but Him, upon Him I depend, and to Him I repent. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers one of the most powerful verses in the entirety of this Mus'haf. It's one of my favorites. Surah Al-Ra'd has a couple of my favorite verses. I love Surah Al-Ra'd. I'm not going to choose six pages anymore for Ramadan. I used to do four pages, half a page each. Then I got greedy, and I thought I could pull off six pages in Ramadan within four, 8 weekend days, and I can't. It's impossible. So we're going to go back to four pages, yani, starting next year, inshallah ta'ala. This will be the last one. وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنًا. And if there was, وَلَوْ أَنَّ, لَوْ is to say, and if, and had there been, أَقُرْآنًا, a Qur'an, سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالِ, that was capable, of moving mountains. التَّسِير is to make something walk. سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالِ, a Qur'an that had the ability for you to move mountains with it. Direct it towards a mountain and the mountain will walk, it'll move. أَوْ قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ, or for earth to be divided or severed with it. التَّقْطِيعَ, for it to be cut, for you to cause, deep cuts within the earth. قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ, you can direct the Qur'an towards the earth and it would cause splitting within the earth. أَوْ كُلِّمَ بِهِ الْمَوْتَى, or a Qur'an that you could use to speak to the dead through. A Qur'an that you could direct towards the dead and then they would be resurrected and you can speak to them and then they go back and die again. There is something that is mahdoof in these verses. There's something that's mahdoof that is understood through the context of the verse before and what was after. Because right after he says, بَلِّلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ جَمِيعًا. No, that's not the case. Indeed, the whole matter of this universe and existence belongs to Allah alone, the entirety of it. What's the missing piece, or what's the deleted piece? The deleted piece is, then this Qur'an would have been better than it. That's the deleted piece. وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنًا, and had there been a Qur'an that you could take and use to walk mountains and split the earth and resurrect the dead, then the one that you have in your hand would have still been better than it. The Qur'an that you carry is more valuable. The Qur'an that you carry, that you recite, is more impactful. It has more profoundness in it. It's stronger. It's more powerful. It's more meaningful than a book that we sent to you. If he sent to you a book that you could just direct upon the creation of Allah and move mountains and split the earth and resurrect the dead, that would be cool, wouldn't it? That would help the credibility along, wouldn't it? If you had like a book where I could just take and I could direct, and he's saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book you have right now is better than that. It's more powerful than that. It will move mountains, just not the way you think. It will split the earth, just not the way you think. And it will resurrect the dead, just not the way you think. Just not the way you think. When you think of mountain and earth and dead, you're just thinking of the biological aspect of it all. This Qur'an will produce people that will move mountains. This Qur'an will produce people that will take care of the earth, that will split the earth and divide it. This Qur'an will resurrect the dead spirits of people. This Qur'an will do this, it'll do it. It'll do better than that. Musa alayhi salam, you think about it. You ever wonder why his stories in the Qur'an so many times? You actually take a time and reflect on what actually happened. If you do, like, you'll start to really appreciate why this story is repeated. Musa alayhi salam presented nine separate miracles to Bani Israel. Ya jama'a, nine. To Fir'aun and his people and Bani Israel, nine. Nine separate physical miracles that are literally insane. Anytime he threw this staff and it turned into a devouring python. He would take his hand out of his pocket and he would blind you with the light anytime you wanted. الضفادع والجراد والقملة. الطوفان والجراد والضفادع والجراد والقملة والضفادع والدم. Nine different a flood. All of the crops of Fir'aun and his people drowned from a flood, and Banu Israel's crops were fine. Every well in the lands of Fir'aun had frogs jumping out of it, and the Banu Israel were fine. The locusts would come and eat and devour the crops of Fir'aun and leave Banu Israel. Every time all the wells start to produce blood in the lands of Fir'aun and his people, and Banu Israel were fine. He split the sea. But you've seen this before. You don't seem impressed at all. You've seen this, you've seen it, and you've stood in front of the sea and it's been split in front of you. He split the sea at a moment when it was doomed. They were doomed. Khalas. They looked back, Fir'aun and his army were coming. They were dead. All 600,000 of them were going to die. Right then and there is going to be a massacre like no other. And he splits the sea. And they walk in it. See, sometimes you can go ahead and say, يعني إنما سكرت أبصارنا بل نحن قوم مسحورون. It's an illusion. It's not real. No. They walked in it. They touched the water. And they played around with the water that's standing up like a mountain. And they walked on they picked up some shells maybe. They made it to the other side. And when Fir'aun does the same thing, they drown. They drown. And still Banu Israel, Abadul Ajil. And then they took a calf, a golden calf, and they worshipped that. And he told them, enter the door. إِنَّ هَهُنَا قَاعِدٌ إِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ وَقَاتِي فَقَاتِيلًا. Take your Lord, go fight. We're sitting right here. We ain't going nowhere. Going there. This has been tried. It's not about Bani Israel. These verses are not to belittle Bani Israel. That's not the point of them, by the way. Again, if you're going to read these verses and project values upon people, you're not learning anything. This proves that human beings just don't respond to these physical miracles. قُطِعَتْ سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالِ قُطِعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ كُلِّيَ بِهِ الْمَوْتَى No. Wallah, a moment of طُمَأْنِينَ is more valuable than all of that put together. And this Qur'an is more powerful than that. And it will remove mountains, and it did. And the Muslims, the disorganized, uneducated Arab, and those who chose to be their allies, they moved mountains, and they divided the earth, and they resurrected nations. They resurrected full nations through this book. This book saved us once, and it will save us again. It saved us once, and twice, and three times historically, and it will save us again. The question is just, are we capable of going back to the essence of what this book is teaching? This is what this ayah is saying. I sent you to a group of people, many umam came before them, but I sent you to them to recite upon them that which I descended upon you, what I revealed to you. Continue to walk your path and state, Huwa Rabbi. There is no God but Him. I depend upon Him. I repent to Him. And believe me, and believe, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this book is more proud, because I think this ayah is there because for a moment alayhi salatu wasalam wondered. He probably wondered. He had every right to. He probably wondered, well, all the other prophets had something. Nothing? I can't get anything? Just something. I don't know, like a flashlight, like anything. Just something to impress, just something to bring people. Nothing. Nothing. أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ أَنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ كِتَابَ يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ. Is it not enough for them that we descended upon you the book for you to recite it upon them? The answer is yes. Yes, it's enough. Had he given the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam anything else, that would be a testimony from God that this is not enough. Had the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam needed any form of reinforcement, that would be just saying that this is not enough. And this is enough. It's more than enough. This whole month is based on the fact that this book was revealed in this month. We are now coming here every night and you're sitting around after, because you're hoping that you are going to somehow experience the night where the first verses were revealed in it. Everything that is attached to the Quran is heightened. Everything. The Quran touches anything, it becomes the highest, in the highest regards. And if it's a month, it's Ramadan. If it's a night, it's Laylatul Qadr. If it's a person, it's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anything that the Quran touches becomes immediately the most valuable thing in the universe. This Quran is more powerful than anything that you could have asked for that would move mountains or split the earth or resurrect the dead. بَلِّلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ جَمِيعًا. So no, this Quran is better. Bel is the how I know that that's what is left. This whole explanation because the word bel is there. Without that, I would have struggled to be able to interpret this verse for you. But bel in Arabic means that no, it's not. That Quran is not better than this one. The truth is that this is better, but لله الأمر جميعا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows all, and He controls all. He'll dictate what works and what doesn't work, and what's worthy of being given, what's not worthy of being given. Leave that to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's much more knowledgeable and much more wise than all of us. أَفَلَمْ يَيْأَسِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن لَّوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ لَهَدَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Have the believers not come to a point of have they not lost hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide whoever He wants? And will misguide whoever He wants. I mean, you can't force guidance upon people. Stop trying to do that. Stop trying to force guidance upon people. Just bring it to them. Just offer them the beauty. And then they either take or they don't. The believers had a problem. They felt that they had, no, don't. Have you not come to the point where it's okay? Some people won't accept it. That's all right. That's all right. It's not because it's weak. It's because they don't want it. It's okay. Allah yasha'ullah. If Allah wanted, He would have granted everyone guidance against their will. But He didn't. He didn't. They have to choose it for themselves. Stop trying to force it upon them. وَلَا يَزَالُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And the disbelievers, they will continue to behave in the way they behave. They will continue to disbelieve and oppress and mistreat. تُصِيبُهُمْ بِمَا صَنَعُوا قَارِعَةٌ. Until a lightning bolt or a strike will come upon them. أَوْ تَحُلُّ قَرِيبًا مِّن دَارِهِمْ. Or hit right near to their homes as a reminder. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ وَعْدُ اللَّهِ. Until the true promise of Allah comes, which is the promise of the Day of Judgment. Meaning Allah will continue to send upon the disbelievers difficulties that will either afflict them or afflict right close to where they are as reminders until the Day of Judgment so they may find their way back. Inna Allah la yukhliful mi'ad. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not fail to come through with His promises subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what this verse means. I hope that was a benefit to you. Subhanallah bihamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallahu khair. Barakallahu feekum. Forgive me for taking longer. Inshallah, only on weekends do we take a little bit longer. Today, inshallah ta'ala, after Asr, I start my 7-episode series that no one ever attends throughout the month. But you're welcome to come and show up and hear me talk about something a little bit different than maybe what